But the more interesting definiteness cases this year are what you might call a nonsense doctrine. Depending on after you hear the cases, you can decide what that might mean. But we got two cases that throw out claims because they say they are nonsensical or impossible. In Synchronos Technologies versus Dropbox, the court says, the relevant claim language says, generating a single digital media file that itself comprises a directory of digital media files. And the district court, the federal circuit, and the expert say, that doesn't make any sense, right? How could one media file comprise a directory of multiple media files? I confess I don't understand that objection. It seems to be quite plausible that you've got to have a single file that is a directory and a pointer to lots of other files. But the court says, nope, it's impossible. It doesn't make any sense logically. And therefore, we're not going to reform your claims for you. Those claims are just indefinite. That court also, by the way, holds that user identifier module is a means plus function claim term and requires an algorithm. In Horizon Pharma versus Reddy's Labs, we've got another nonsensicality question. Here, the claims are focused on the dissolution profile of a drug inside the human body. And the patent claim language says involves giving pills to a patient where the pill targets a specified dissolution over a specified period. Now, I think what the patentee was going for here was, I want to claim a dissolution profile, but I want to kind of claim an approximate dissolution profile. I don't want to be bound to exactly how this dissolves. So we're saying the targeted dissolution profile is it will dissolve this much over this period of time. But the court says, hey, the word target means to set as a goal. And so the claims are invalid for indefiniteness because pills don't have goals. Pills can't set goals. Therefore, we don't understand what this means. And the claim, it says, is, quote, incomprehensible when read literally because a pill can't set a goal. It's an inanimate object. Now, this seems to me to fit in the category of cases of you really could have actually figured out what the patentee had in mind, but the court was unwilling to do so. A bit of a kind of formalist reading of the words here. Enablement and written description, we have kind of several cases continuing the theme of what Sean Seymour, Dimitri Karshad, and I have called the death of genus claims in the pharmaceutical and biotech sphere. It has been a rather remarkable change over the last 20 years. While we think of pharmaceutical and biotech claims as entitled to and as depending on broad genus claims, in fact, the Federal Circuit has been striking those things down right and left on enablement and written description grounds. They don't do it all the time. So one rare example of a case surviving is Bayer versus Bexalta. Though here the claim is to a process for site-directed pegylation rather than random pegylation. That process, the court said, was sufficiently enabled. But where you're claiming a genus and particular of drugs or of chemicals, and particularly where you're claiming a genus that will perform a function, the Federal Circuit has shifted to a quote, full scope enablement and written description requirement that basically says, if you want to claim a genus, you got to show us not just everything that's in the genus, but you got to show us everything that works in the genus and everything that doesn't. For genus claims that might have millions of different species in them, that's frankly an impossible requirement. So we see this applied in Amgen versus Sanofi, for instance, where the claims, the court says the claims are written in functional language. There's little guidance on how to recreate them. In fact, though, the patentee gives amino acid sequences for 26 antibodies that bind to particular places on the PCSK9 protein. And it writes claims in a form that for a long period of time we've allowed for monoclonal antibodies, right? Which is I claim this antibody by the binding site and the binding specificity, what it's binding to, where it's binding, and at how much efficacy. Federal Circuit now says, though, can't do that anymore. It's true. Amgen argues you could make all the antibodies within the scope of the claims. We've given you a roadmap. You'd have to sort of do some experimentation, but we've taught you how to do it. But the court says, no, too bad. This is an unpredictable art. You've claimed sort of anything that binds with the specificity. Nobody knows in advance which things will bind to the specificity. The only way to figure it out is trial and error. And therefore, you can't have the claim.